Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. I want to look at this psalm, much familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible, and glean from it. Lord, we thank you again for a wonderful time of worship. How blessed we are just to be here, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit that some way, somehow brought us here. Maybe we've been going through trials and it was hard to get out of bed this morning, or had a drama-filled week or whatever, but the fact is that we are here and you are with us and we are together, and we know that you love us and you desire to communicate to us, Lord. And so we pray your blessing upon the teaching of your word, and give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, many of you know that's probably one of the more famous passages of all the Bible. Even a lot of unbelievers will quote this psalm. Seeking comfort. Of course, you know it as the shepherd's psalm, or the Lord is the psalmist's shepherd. And when you think of all the illustrations in the Bible that depict God and his people, I think one of the most endearing is this illustration or this picture that Almighty God, who created the universe, who is all holy and all righteous, and just all powerful, nothing is too difficult for him. And yet at the same time, he declares that he has the heart of a shepherd, a heart of a caring, loving, tender shepherd. You know it well in John chapter 10, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. And to me, that's amazing because it's so endearing, speaking of his relationship to his people. And of course, David, being a shepherd, being a young shepherd boy, caring and tending for the sheep, if anybody would know the heart of a shepherd, we know that David would understand the heart of the shepherd. Because remember, as he was tending his father's sheep, nobody else wanted to do it in his family. He was kind of the runt of the family. He did it faithfully. And in doing it faithfully, God was preparing him, his heart, to be the next king of Israel, and probably the greatest king Israel has ever known to this day. But the thing is that God created in him a shepherd's heart. And when you think of a shepherd, you know that it's an all-consuming responsibility. It's a 24/7 type of job. It's your whole life. There's no part-time shepherds, especially in the culture back then. They didn't have all these farms and fences up and everything. The shepherd was out with the sheep. His entire life was consumed about caring for the sheep. You would often, even to this day, you could see pictures of shepherds in certain countries, even in third world countries. The shepherd, when you look at his skin, it'll be rough skin, you know, because he's outside all the time with the sheep, you know, having to put up with the elements of the sun and the wind and the rain, and he's traveling with them, always his presence is there for them. There's no other priorities in the shepherd's life. Again, if he's a good shepherd and he loves the sheep, as David loved the sheep, as God loves us, you know, his presence and his affection and his heart is there constantly watching over the sheep. And then we look at the sheep. Of all the animals, of all the creatures that God created, you think of the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, some awesome and beautiful creatures. You just go to the zoo, or you can turn on, I don't know, Animal Planet, or they're just fascinating. I'm just fascinated ever since being a Christian. It's just dogs and cats and everything, you know, it's just amazing. I remember going to the San Diego Zoo years ago, big family vacation. Burned all of our tax return, everything, to take the family over there. Got to go to the San Diego Zoo. And you know, the kids were young and carrying, at that time, the camcorder, bags, everything, you know. It just wears you out. You need a vacation from the vacation. And I remember going to the San Diego Zoo, and it seemed like eternity to get around that place. But in the evening, well, toward the evening or late afternoon, we just happened to be in the place where the big cats were, where the mountain lions and the panthers. And I guess because it was cool, they were real active in their cages and stuff, you know. And of course, they're not really cages now. I mean, it's a big place for them. And I was watching, I think it was a cougar or something, just prancing and bouncing around the cage, you know. Just amazing, the agility and the, just like a cat, like a small cat, but maybe about 250 pounds or so, you know. And just walking by from each place and just being amazed at God's creation. And then you come to the sheep. And if you go by the petting zoo, and you look at a sheep, you're not too impressed by their physical stature. They're not some, you know, exhibit that everybody would camp out around and say, kids, man, check this out. Look at the sheep. They're unreal. Look at those legs, man. Whoo, look how sleek. Oh, and they're so bright. And they're so alert, you know. Not so, because you know that sheep, the characteristics of sheep, are not very favorable. And yet, God compares us to sheep. It's an amazing thing, because when you look today, we would depict ourselves, and we use all these great other creatures, you know. You look at all the football teams, or sport teams, or whatever, or cars, Jaguar, Cougar, Panther, whatever. And you got this, you know, the uniform, and you know, it's whatever, and it's just got all these eagles and these beasts and the bears and the lions, you know. You don't see anyone with sheep on them in the helmet. You don't see any decals with sheep or with lambs. Not for those, you know, sports and stuff like that. You'd be laughed out of the stadium. Nobody would come to the games. Some of the characteristics of sheep is that they tend to be timid, fearful, easily panic, skittish, you might say, gullible, easily influenced, tend to follow, as they heard, you know, as one sheep goes astray, they all tend to follow. Little or no means of self-defense. It's not like they have fangs on them. It's not like the wolf or their predators. They can run, that's about it, but they can't run very fast because they got skinny legs and big bodies, so, like us guys, softball players, skinny legs and big bodies. And again, they're just easy prey for their predators. Their predators just wait. They wait because the sheep, again, because they're not so alert, they tend to wander. To leave the shepherd's presence, they become easy prey. And again, because they can't really fight back, they become, you know, rack a lamb real quick. But at the same time, they could be jealous, and they're very competitive for dominance and within their herd, within their group. They constantly need fresh water and fresh pasture. Again, they have very little discernment in choosing food or water. They tend to eat whatever and wherever. They could be drinking at a polluted stream. It doesn't matter to them. It's just, it's water, whatever, and they'll eat whatever. And again, part of their makeup, they could be very stubborn and even perverted in the sense that they will insist on their own way. Again, they would even, you know, they've been known to eat poison, poisonous plants, drinking polluted water. They don't like to be sheared or clean. They struggle with that, rebel against that. They need to be constantly on the move, and they need a predetermined pattern of grazing. Otherwise, they tend to, you know, be in a rut, so to speak. They stay in the same place, and they'll just eat and eat and eat till there's no grass left, nothing but dirt and everything, and still stay in that one place. So they need to be rotated, their pasture land. They need a shepherd. Without a shepherd to care for them, they simply will die. They're what we call high maintenance. You don't see them on the animal planet, this kind of this pack of sheep, real independent, caring for themselves, you know, intimidating all the other animals and predators, you know. They need a shepherd. They would die if they lived their life independent. And yet it's amazing that in Scripture, and even in the Old and New Testament, that's the exact animal that God uses to describe us. Isaiah says, all of us have sheep, like sheep have gone astray, each and every one of us to our own way. And yet the great comfort that David found and the confidence that David had and the courage that marked his life as a leader was that he understood with all of his heart that God was his shepherd. And this is what he writes, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This great declaration of confidence and trust in the Lord. Again, because David understood being a shepherd. He understood the tasks and the responsibilities, and again, it was all-consuming. And it would all be motivated out of love to provide comfort and protection and to guide and lead the sheep. And in this psalm, David is declaring his contentment, his satisfaction. He's declaring that he has committed his life to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is now responsible, or basically the Lord himself is his manager of the manager of his life. This is why he can declare, the Lord is my shepherd, my personal shepherd. He's leading, he's guiding every aspect of my life. I've surrendered everything over to him. And the sheep will trust in the shepherd. It will take time because the shepherd cares for the sheep, spends time with the sheep. He's intimate with the sheep. He knows them individually. He knows all their quirks and he's so familiar with them. Maybe you have a pet, a dog or a cat or whatever. It's like, I was staying with my brother last month and cruising over at his place, and he's single and he had a nice, kind of apartment set up there, and then he has this cat. I don't even know where the cat is half the time. She's hiding someplace, you know. But he'll call her. And then this cat, sure enough, comes out of wherever, you know. And he kind of talks to this cat. And I'm not really a cat person. I'm more of a dog person. But I'm amazed that he has this relationship with this cat and how they've lived together and all this. And I'm like, but with me, the cat would just scram and hide itself. Or maybe you have a dog or something. The dog is more apt to obey the owner or the master of their life, especially if they're a good master. Take care. But if a stranger goes over, you might have your arm bit off or something, you know. But the whole point is that David understood, you know what? The Lord, he is my personal shepherd, and therefore, I'm good. I'm satisfied. I'm content. That's what contentment means, to be well satisfied. You know, I don't need anything else. This is a man who was very famous. He killed Goliath. He was a great king, fought and defeated the Jebusites, established Jerusalem there as the capital, defeated all the enemies, you know, from Dan to Beersheba under his rulership and reign. Israel had great dominance in the Middle East. And probably the main reason was because that David was such a worshiper of God. And he understood about bringing the ark back to right there in Jerusalem. And God blessed his life. But you know, no matter whether it be David running as a fugitive from Saul, hiding out in caves, or being the runt of his family, out being the shepherd boy that everybody forgot, or whether he live in a palace and people kind of stroke him out of adoration and everything else, you know what? It didn't matter to him. He was content. His life wasn't based on material possessions or fame. David's life was simply, he found great joy and comfort in knowing that the God of the universe loves him and is watching over him and caring for him. And as a good shepherd, is taking on all the responsibility to lead and direct his life. And with him, it was all good. He didn't need anything else. The Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is of great gain. I think one of the areas that Satan attacks our life is in this area of contentment. We live in a culture, in a society bombarded with marketing, especially us in America, where it's like, you know, you need this and you need that and you need this. I mean, we might have from hundreds to 1,500, I've seen studies of just marketing, you know, advertisement and advertisements constantly popping up on your computer, on your whatever, phone, iPod, text message, I don't know, you know, getting in the car, on the radio, watching TV, obviously, driving by the mall and all these signs telling you that you need this and I need this and you need this and all these things. And we live in a consumer society. We just go ahead and buy and we spend and spend and spend and obtain and get and this and that. And it's just this constant consumption of things, especially here in the United States. And society, basically, that the culture is telling us, even as believers, that we need to go outside of our relationship with Jesus Christ to somehow find satisfaction or somehow find a sense of worth or somehow, you know what I mean? That there's something missing in our life. We have this restlessness within us and we seek to go outside of our relationship with God and into the things of the world, and that's where we get all jammed up. And I think in the church, and people can see our lives as believers if we're really content in our relationship with God. Because sometimes when I don't get what I want, I'm like my kids and I can pout. I'm like, come on, take it easy. You know, you're not going to die. You're going to live through this, you know. We don't get our way and then we feel like, well, God has abandoned us. That's the wrong attitude to have. And you know, people in the world, they can see through that. They can say, well, James, when everything is going right in his life, he seems so happy. He's like the best neighbor. And as soon as he has a flat tire, loses something, he's a beast. He's terrible or whatever. You know, and people can see that. And it's because our heart is not content and satisfied just in knowing that Jesus Christ, he's the manager of my life. And if he wants me to have something, it will come. If he doesn't, it's all right. If I live in a palace, in a mansion, well, whatever. If I have to live on the side of the road or live at the airport like my two boys, we are blessed to get some, buddy passes, right? To bring them from college from Minnesota, both of them. Otherwise, there's just no way they can come home. Well, they left on Monday, right? They got to Hawaii finally on Thursday. They had to sleep in the airport a couple of nights. But I said, you guys got each other. That's the main thing, you know? But man, were they blessed to come home and sleep in a bed and everything. But just, you know, traveling through and everything. I said, hey, but you know what? They were good. They said, you know, Dad, we'll be all right. You know, we'll sleep in the Denver airport. We'll sleep in the Salt Lake City airport, LA or whatever. But the main thing is we're on our way home. And you know what? It is important that we find this contentment in the Lord. You remember Pastor Bill's message on Wednesday night, Abraham and Lot, when they separated. I thought that was so true. In Genesis chapter 13, and you remember their herdsmen, they had some drama because they had a, you know, they had many flocks and many herdsmen. There was drama. It was time to separate. And in Genesis chapter 13, Abraham said to Lot in verse 8, please let there be no strife, no drama between me and you, nor between my herdsmen or your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered there. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. Verse 11 says, so Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. And then later on, we find in verse 13, now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. But in verse 14, we see, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I'll give it to you and to your descendants forever. I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, your descendants can be also numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, and I'll give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt in the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And notice there he built an altar to the Lord. Pastor Bill was explaining, Abram builds altars. He's a worshiper of God. We don't see Lot doing this. But I love it. He was so content. He tells his nephew. And this is a mark of sheep that are well contented with God managing their life. He says, you know what? He said, hey, this is the thing. You choose. We got to separate. But you know what? You choose first. If you go this way, I'll go that way. You go that way. And so what does Lot do? He chooses the best. He chooses that green, fertile soil. He didn't know it was so wicked. That was Sodom. He lifted up his eyes and he chose. But you see, in Abram, his life was so content in his worship and understanding of God that it didn't matter to him. Whether we live here, whether we live there, it's not the location. We got to move here. We'll get a house, apartment, this, that. It doesn't matter. The whole point is, you know what? We have the Lord. And you know, if you can look in your life, and I don't know how long you've been a Christian, and I could see times in my life where, you know what? It's all good. You know, material things and this and that, positions and this and that, money or whatever. It just, you know what? Remember when you first got saved, it just didn't even matter, did it? The one thing that mattered is, you know, my past has been forgiven. That God loves me. And that, you know, no matter what comes in this life, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't have to be afraid to die and stand before God and have all this judgment for all the rotten things I've done, you know? And just this joy of salvation. And that we would be, you know, we should be just so content in that. We're serving the Lord. David had this contentment. I wonder this morning, do we as a fellowship, or maybe as individuals, can we say this? Can we sing this? Can we say the Lord Jesus Christ, he's my shepherd. He has control of my life. And you know what? It's all good. Don't need that. Don't need that temptation. Don't need that position. Hey, if I get it, well, fine. I'm going to be faithful where God has me. And I'm going to be waiting for his coming. And I think God wants us to understand that he loves us so much. That we don't have to be trying to look outside of the things of the Lord and outside of his providence and plan for our life to be someone or something. You know what I mean? We're all sheep, all of us. skinny legs, fat bodies, defensive, whatever, you know. We're not bad and mean and this and that, so independent, all this kind of stuff. Hey, the bottom line, we are weak. We see people die every day. You're dying physically, I'm dying. We get colds, we get sicknesses, we get flat tire, sore knee, whatever. Are we on our toll? We get sicknesses, diseases. Our emotions are easily hurt. We have a lot of pride. We're sensitive. All these things. We're sheep. Who are we kidding ourselves? We're sheep. And we need a shepherd. And the Lord loves being our shepherd. There's contentment. Verse 2, we see that David understood God's care in his life, his providence. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You remember, a good shepherd is always looking ahead and always trying to find that pasture land that the sheep can come away and find rest. This green pastures or this lush place where there's quiet waters is a contrast between maybe a wilderness area where there's a lot of dirt or rocks, or maybe some sheep, you know, they graze too long in a certain area. It once was pretty green and lush, but now it's kind of barren. A good shepherd is constantly going before them, looking for other land, and has to kind of manage their landscape and constantly looking for those green pastures and still waters, quiet, consistent stream of fresh water going through, not this raging kind of rapids, you know, kind of deal. Or not on the other end of the pendulum, you get this stagnant water. You know how it is when there's like a pool of water, you get your old pool in the backyard too long kind of deal, you know. All the mosquitoes and everything else like that. No, the good shepherd is going to look for a green pasture where the sheep can lie down and find security and rest. Maybe they've been, you know, traveling a great distance. Maybe they needed that rest. And of course, green pasture, you would think of lying down in green pasture. Again, there's a sense of security, a sense where they're being nourished, a sense where they're being cared for. Again, sheep are skittish. They're just not going to lie down anywhere. But because they know the shepherd is leading and guiding, and then once they settle in, there's maybe not as many insects and bugs and things like that. You know, they're free from the danger of maybe a wolf or someone coming. The shepherd's presence is with them. They're able to settle down and rest and be able to just kind of be revived there. Maybe you've gone through a hard week. Maybe you're going through a hard time season in your life. We live in such a rush society. I mean, it's so hard for me just to even concentrate on anything. We just get bombarded with everything. Too much information sometimes. We just running and running and running and running and running and running. Then when you have multiple kids, you're running more and more and more and more and more. And next thing you know, it's like 10 years have gone by. But you know what? We can find rest and security and nourishment in the presence of Jesus Christ and in His Word. You see, because for us, the green pasture, right, spiritually, is like right here on Sunday. Isn't it beautiful just to know that we can come on a campus, and not just this church, there's many other churches that proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and teach His Word. But don't you long to go and take refuge there at church? Know that when you drive in the parking lot, it's a safe place. And knowing that, you know what, people are going to welcome me. And then to come into the sanctuary and to just worship Jesus freely. And to be fed and taught the Word of God. To be prayed over if I need prayer. To know that my kids are being taken care of. You know what? I mean, that's green pasture. Or maybe in the middle of the week, I was thinking of our home fellowship that I attend on Thursday nights. And sometimes as difficult as it is to get there, man, I'm so blessed every time I am there to be able to pray with one another and pray for one another and to have a meal together and to worship the Lord. every time we have fellowship together, find ourselves in the Word of God together. Green pasture. When you look at your life and you look at, you know, just where you're at with the Lord, and can you say that you're living in green pasture? Do you enjoy the being filled with the Word of God? Do you enjoy prayer and worship and serving and the things of the Lord? That's a great indicator if I'm really a sheep, or if I am a sheep, am I straying away from the things of the Lord? If I just enjoy being in a place where the Lord is feeding me, His Word, revealing Himself to me, these quiet waters, speaking of just the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 3, we find here, He makes me lie down. He leads me. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. This word restore, another word is revive. Your Bible translation might. He takes that which was once dead or beaten up or ready to die, and He brings back life. That's the gentleness of Jesus. As we're in green pastures, as He's leading me beside quiet waters, I'm experiencing a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Now remember, David, he didn't have a real rosy road in his walk with the Lord and to become king, right? He ran. He lived in caves. He fought bears and lions. He had enemies. I mean, he was constantly attacked. And yet through it all, we find even in 1 Samuel, we find David always strengthening himself in the Lord, always inquiring of the Lord, even drama in his home, drama with his soldiers looking up to him, drama on the battlefield, drama within. He could always find peace, and he always find encouragement in his relationship with God. God was able to restore his soul. He was able to revive him, encourage him, give him confidence and comfort and courage, everything that he needed, because he had this. He had established himself as he had come under the shepherd's, the shepherd's authority. Maybe your soul. Maybe, you feel beaten up. Sometimes we do. Maybe you might be even dead spiritually. I don't know. But God does know. And if there's one thing that Jesus Christ wants to do in this world, is to bring comfort, to restore people who were so lost in their sin, and they had no shepherd, and they were eaten and beaten up in this life and in this world or through tragedy. There's a lot of heartache around us. Just this past week, not only one of the moms and wives and ladies in our fellowship, she went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday. It was just heart-wrenching to see the two kids. Saying goodbye was, was sudden, and I was just like, what do you say? Then to hear of, the young man that graduated from Punahou, Cameron Steinhoff, he banged his head and he's gone. And my daughter said, I just saw him on Monday and met him and this and that and the other, and how devastated his mom and the family are. And, and before that, somebody else had passed away. And then, we look in our newspapers and things like that. We live in a world that there's a lot of things that can wear on our heart. Remember, we're like sheep. We can only handle so much. But God wants to take us, and He wants to lead us, and He wants us to understand that if we come under His authority, if we submit our lives to Him, we're going to find great comfort and mercy, even in the midst of tragedy. He has the ability to restore our soul. And notice, then He'll direct our life. He'll guide us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The good shepherd always goes before the sheep, always thinking ahead. The sheep, they don't even know what's best for them. They got their head down. They're just going about, this, that, probably, irritating one another, this and that. But the shepherd is always looking at the future. The shepherd is always going before them. The shepherd is always trying to clear a path for them. And notice, David understands that the Lord, He leads my life in tracks or paths of righteousness. God will always lead us. His Spirit will always lead us as we're in His Word and we're in fellowship. As the Holy Spirit is active in our life, He would lead us to choose rightly, to make the right choice. Our behavior will be that of, it would be Christ-like. Every day, you and I have choices and things, you know, that we, you know, do I sin? Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I think this? Do I think that? You got all these things. But you see, if we understand that the Lord is our shepherd and we find great contentment and comfort and we're in His Word and His Word is in our hearts as He's leading us and directing us and He's reviving our heart day after day, maybe through devotions or fellowship or whatever, we'll find that we will be sensitive to the leading of His Spirit and there'll be a conviction when it comes to sin. And so when I'm tempted or whatever, I'm going to understand, no, I'm not going to go here. I'm going to go here. A path of righteousness, the right thing to do. Jesus said, far and wide is the road to destruction, and many go by that. But very few, narrow is the gate, and very few find it that leads to eternal life. You see, when the Lord is shepherding us, one of the task or the responsibilities of a good shepherd is, because he loves and cares for the sheep, is to make sure that what? That they're led down the right path. That there's safety. He's not going to lead them in unrighteousness or dangerous situations and things like that. But so many times our mindset is warped to think, oh, the things of the Lord, no, man, I don't want to go down the righteousness. There's no fun over there. I'll go down the road to unrighteousness. Everybody is doing that. I'm going to be covered by His grace. And next thing you know, the wolf comes out of nowhere and then rips off half our neck. You know what I mean? We get beaten up and all mangled from the world and from sin and stuff. Unnecessary drama. How many times in our lives, you know, we're in trials and tribulations and all this, and when I really look at it, I think I brought this on myself. I think I brought a lot of unnecessary drama. I don't know if it's so much the devil in the world, but it might be 90% me. And it's just simply, I have not chosen the path of righteousness. And the whole purpose is for His glory, for His name's sake. You see, I'm looking out for my name's sake. I want to be this, and I want to be that, and I want to do this. Well, that's the wrong motive. See, the sheep that know the shepherd, they understand, you know what? It's not about us. It's about Him. Let Him lead. Let Him direct. And in the end, there's going to be great peace. We're not going to have a life that we're going to regret. In verse 4, we see this courage of David, even in the midst of great adversity, the Lord being his shepherd. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You've heard that so many times. Soldiers to this day quote this when they go into dangerous situations. You know, the shepherd sometimes, as he's looking for that better green pasture land or quiet waters, might need to take the path to go down the valley where it's dark and to lead the sheep, only to bring them up to a better place on the other side. But it's a necessity at times to go down in the valley where it's dark, where it's damp, where the terrain might be a little treacherous. And you notice it's the shadow of death. This is that, you know, just this anxiety that what's coming upon me, I'm going down this dark valley, right? And the potential for danger is so imminent, you know? It's like as the sheep are going down, it's like, oh no, where are we going? What are we doing? Where are you leading us? It's dark, it's scary. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And you know, many times even as Christians, right, we have to go through the valley. We can't live in a, wee, oh, praise the Lord, everything's good. I mean, all great. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's all good. And we're all good. We're all safe. You know, there's times like that we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. But you know what? As Christians, we suffer too. Jesus suffered. And I believe a big part of that is so the rest of the world, we can identify with people. How are you going to share the Lord with somebody if you yourself haven't gone through difficulties, divorce, death, sickness, drama, failure, whatever? You know, again, we're all sheep. And you know what? It's a necessity to grow close to the Lord to go through dark times. Maybe you're going through a time right now. You're like, oh, what's up with this? You know, where's the green pastures, quiet waters, drama-free life, restoration of my soul, paths of righteousness? Now where are we going, you know? And we get scared and we just have all these thoughts that, oh, no, the Lord's going to leave me. But you know what? It's in these dark times, right, going down the valley of the shadow of death, what do? As Christians, we draw closer to Jesus. Don't you find yourself? Next thing you know, it's like, man, I got to get up early and pray. I got to go to Bible study. I got to be in the Word. You know, I can't be like watching movies late at night and Netflix here and there. Not that I do Netflix or whatever, but you know, I can't be, you know, listening to all this other stuff and involved in this other stuff, right? As soon as you get the bad news that your life is in a radical transition, man, next thing you know, it's like, man, listen, we got to go to church. We got to come up for prayer. I got to hear the Lord. I got to pray. I got to get in His Word. I had a month like that last month. Everything was going good. Then everything just, the wheels fell off and everything. It's like, what is happening? I can't believe this is happening to me. Lord, green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness. It's all good, right? I'm good. You're good. We're all good. What is this? But you know what happens is it's a necessity to get deeper and closer and more serious with God. Because as sheep, we tend to stray when things are always good. That's what Pastor Bill was teaching last Sunday, the leaves, you know, and then the wine and stuff like that. Sometimes God got to give us that, the radical, you know, dump us out. You know, our football coach, he used to always tell the defense, you know, you better be ready for an interception or a fumble out there. You better be ready. Be cruising on the side, drinking water, talking story, looking at Chilitas or something like that. Not that we did. At least I never did. Probably lying, probably not, but it's all right. But anyway, the thing is to always be ready. There's a sudden transition. There's a sudden change. You got to run out there. All of a sudden, next thing you know, man, we got the ball and everything's going good and boom. Interception, the guy runs it back, they're inside the 10. What? They're inside the 10. You gotta be there. Your team, you gotta be ready to go. Next thing you're like, oh, you know, that's what you're facing there. But you know, the whole point is when we go through these difficult times, maybe you're going through it now, you'll find that you're gonna draw close to the Lord, and you know what? His presence is there. That's why David said, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though I don't know, it looks dark, it looks damp. I can hear the howling of the wolves and this and that. The main thing, Lord, is that I know that you're right here with me. Your presence, you're right here, you're close to me. And the rod and the staff, you know, that rod would have that little crook on the end in case the sheep might go almost over the side, maybe on that trail going down, and the extension of that rod could pull them back with that end having that hook or that crook. Just like they're going to pull me out of here in about 5 minutes if I go over, but that's all right. But then I have the staff, that's the club. I club them as they're trying to pull me out. I'm clubbing them with rod and say, come and fighting drama. Sheep, we, you know, whatever. But the rod and the staff was a club to club the predators and the enemies of the sheep. And you know what? There's great protection in the Lord. Whatever you might be going through, whatever I will face, even death, the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus, even death itself. whatever you might go through, whatever you're facing, whatever anxieties you might have. We live in a world of such uncertainty, politically, economically, my job, my family, whatever. Know this, if the Lord is our shepherd, we can find great courage in difficult times. Why? Because he won't leave us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, the hireling, the guy that's on payroll, the shepherd, doing it for a job, he sees the wolf coming, and you know what he does? He skedaddles. He's out of there. He runs away. Why? He's a hireling. In the contrast, he said, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, I will lay down my life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he's done for us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you might think, oh, but James, I've gone down an unrighteous path. He hasn't been my shepherd. I'm kind of captaining my own ship, trying to manage my own life, thinking I'm like the eagle or the bear or the lion. But now I'm all jam up and bust up. I've lost it all. You know what? The Lord seeks after those sheep and brings them back that he might heal them and restore them because he's a God of mercy. In verse 5, it says, thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. This great confidence that he had, that when it's all said and done, Lord, I am going to be with you. The legacy that David has left behind in history for us as a man after God's own heart, not a perfect man. He had some major slips, but nonetheless, he was faithful to his death. Goodness, and there was loving kindness, followed him, and we know that he's in the house of the Lord. And even though he had great enemies around him constantly, just like sheep would have predators, always lurking, always seeking the opportune time to attack the sheep, the Lord would be still able, or the good shepherd is able to bless and just anoint. God was able to anoint David's life, even though he had so many enemies, so many people were jealous of him, so many people wanted him to die, and yet they couldn't stop the blessing. Couldn't stop that anointing. Can't touch this, you know what I mean? Because the Lord's my shepherd. We're going to have enemies. We're going to have people that want us to fail and whatever, drama, backbiters and all that kind of stuff. Satan's going to try to orchestrate everything. But you know what? There's still fellowship in the Lord's presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. God doesn't want us as Christians to just be hanging on, you know? Oh, I just made it through the week. Oh, just made it. You know, I mean, there's times like that. But some people, it's always like that. Oh, man, I just, whoo. It's like, you've been like that for 5 years now. Has God, you know, come on, you know. God is able. I mean, we look at Daniel in Babylon. God was able to bless him, even in Babylon. So obviously, as we close this morning, in a world that is so crazy and chaotic. Before our softball game started yesterday, there was great commotion going over on the other side. There was a fight that broke out or whatever, and everybody started running. And this is, you know, Crane Park there in Kaimuki, and it's about 5 o'clock, you know, it's during the day, broad daylight. And one of the girls on the other team, somebody tried to molest her in the bathroom. And we watched the other team, and all the guys jumped on it, chasing this guy who's all high on drugs. The guys jumped on him, and some of our guys jumped on him. And the guy was, like, strong from what I heard. I didn't, of course, you know me. I was hiding behind the... Tell me what happened, Fabian. Tell me what happened. 911. I don't like a shot. No. But I thought it was just some, you know, park people, you know, had a fight or something. But everybody went over, they jumped on the guy, and then, you know, the police came. They pounded the guy a couple of times. Good thing, you know, the father didn't kill the guy. But you're thinking, hey, we're in the park. This is 5 o'clock during the day. We gotta watch our kids. I remember the park. You used to go ride your bike to the park by yourself. Go use the bathroom or do whatever, hang out at the park. Now you go in the bathroom, you don't know what's going on in there. It's just a crazy world. You know, but you know what? Whatever come what may for us, we can rest assured that the Lord is able to watch over us. He's consumed with taking care of you and me. I wonder, is the Lord your shepherd? Can you declare, the Lord is my shepherd? He's managing my life. It's all good. No matter what comes, what way, whatever, it's like your presence in my life, Lord, that's all I need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word of comfort. We thank you for the confidence that you give us, not based on our own righteousness, but based on your love and your grace. And Lord, truly, we do feel like sheep. We get ourselves in all situations, Lord. We don't even know what's best for our life. But we are so thankful that you're the faithful shepherd. You're always watching over us, Lord. And even when we go astray, and we bring drama to our own life because of sin, if we would yield to you and turn to you, you are right there to forgive us and to wash and to cleanse us and bring us back into the fold. Lord, you say in your word that there's other sheep that you have yet to bring into the fold. People that we see every day in our community, in the workplace, or maybe even this morning that you've brought, that have not yet committed their life to you, to declare that you are the shepherd that shed your blood for all of our sins. Lord, we pray that your spirit will move as we close in song. We pray if there are those that do not know you, or maybe us that have strayed away from your management and your authority and your word. And Lord, we want to come back to you. Lord, I pray that you would do just a mighty work of repentance, that we might experience that times of refreshing from your presence. And Lord, for those that are going through the valley, Lord, dark times, difficult times, we pray that your spirit of comfort, that they would know that you are with them and you'll never leave them nor forsake them. In Jesus' name, amen.